Engels almost 2 steals a game this year, just shy of 2.
Joe looks for that high pass.
Did he make that?
He made the shot.
Yeah! Yeah! NBA Strayer! How you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Strayer. It is Wednesday, December 5. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios with Larry Armour himself. He's sitting there at my feet because we've got a bit of a gap under the old back fence of the new house. Slightly nervous about him running out there and just taking off. So he's our supervising producer today. Nice one. On your knackers. Anyway, we're letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. And of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every day of NBA action, just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. So, fun day of NBA. We've got some news about Markelle Fultz's Spacco shoulder. We had Jingles and the Jazz go bananas in Utah against the Spurs, and Whinge and Hassan Whiteside had a bit of a whinge. Shock horror. Also, new home for Joakim Noah. Nice one. So that's all covered in all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's the award-winning segments, Yeah Nah, Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled takes. So it's going to be great. Because it's Wednesday, we've got a new Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'Em Up Award, and a great moment in NBA Straya stat history, which is awesome. So we also preview and pick all the games for tomorrow. It's a massive one. And we'll close out with Rowdy's Recos as Rowdy Brockhoff delivers a new life hack. It's awesome. All right, let's get to it. NBA's back. And this is NBA Straya episode 197. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Or you better watch out for the attack of, like, 10 different specialists. Oh, Jesus.
Better go see a doctor, bro. Oh, my shoulder's a bit weird. Oh, better go to the doctor.
Nah, better yet, go to 10 doctors. Jesus. Anyway, let's start today the way we start every show here at NBA Straya with the daily whip around. We've diagnosed the diagnoses on Markelle Fultz with Woj reporting today that Fultz went and saw like 10 different doctors and shit in New York, and they figured out that his shoulder's fucked. I mean, I could have told him that for free. It's like, oh, hey, Markelle, can you shoot? Nah, well, your shoulder's fucked, isn't it? You idiot. Also, get out of your own head and just fucking shoot it. anyway, they reckon they've figured out that he's got thoracic outlet syndrome, which, to be fair, kind of sounds like he's jizzing acid or something. Jesus, thoracic outlet syndrome. Whoa, didn't you cop that when you're in Vietnam there, old mate? Oh, Jesus. Anyway, his agent, lawyer, whatever the fuck, you know, spiritual healer, who knows, Raymond Brothers told ESPN as well that the syndrome that he's been diagnosed with affects nerves between the neck and shoulder, resulting in abnormal function, movement, and range of motion, thus severely limiting Markelle's ability to shoot a basketball. Sure. All right, fucking sure. So how did the fucking Sixers docs not diagnose this? Are they shit? Or is this all just like, I found some fucking weird doctor who's like, you might have this, bro. And then like all the other doctors like, well, we can't prove that you don't have that. And Markelle's like, that's it. That's what I've got. That's it. Fucking bang. So he can fucking bitch and moan and sit there with these sleepy ass eyes and not do anything like play basketball. Jesus. Anyway. So anyway, they reckon 3 to 6 weeks of rehab. They're not putting a timetable on it though, the Sixers, and he's going to be rehabbing in LA. I mean, fucking sure. Have you been to Philly in winter? I'd fucking go and rehab for 6 weeks in the middle of winter in LA myself. It's like, no, I reckon it needs another 6 weeks. What do you reckon? What is it? Oh, is it fucking January there in Philly? Fuck that noise. I'm going to stay where the fuck it's warm. Good job, Fultz. So maybe he's like Galaxy Brain, smarter than all of us. He's like, oh man, I just want to get paid to rehab and like hang the fuck out in LA for a shitty Philly winter. I mean, let Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid deal with that and all that snow and shoveling stuff. Fucking A, man. And some other news today we had. Joakim Noah, he of the shittiest fucking hair and beard combo that we've seen this year. He's signing a one-year pro-rated veterans minimum deal with Memphis, according to Woj and ESPN. I mean, sure. It's been 3 years since he was any good at basketball, so if you think that's news, then more power to you. All right, let's get through to today's wraps then, shall we? We had five games today. I also had to fuck off up to the hardware store and buy a bunch of shit so the dog doesn't fucking escape out of the new house. So I missed the second half of the early games, but... Oh, no. Actually, I watched the end of Indy Chicago. That's right. I missed the first half of Portland Dallas. Anyway, let's do it. Chicago went into Indy and got beat 96-90. No Victor, no problems. Chicago, this is their first game under new coach Jim Boylan, not to be confused with old coach Jim Boylan. Sure. And they made a bit of a move as well in that starting lineup there, putting Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markin into the starting lineup, and he produced 21-10. I fucking love Lowry. 5 of 13 from 3. He absolutely smashed. He had just some absolutely fucking wet shots. It was great. So 21-10 for him. Zachy Cakes, shit one for LaVine. 13 points on 6 of 15 shooting. 9 assists, though, so that's handy. Wendell Carter Jr., 10 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 assists. Yeah, oh, but I reckon Trae Young's better than him, right? He's probably definitely, like, the East Rookie of the Month, right? Fuck you! Anyway, Wendell smashing it. Jabari Parker off the bench in that Boylan move. 12 points and 8 rebounds, also had 4 turnovers. I mean, sure. Archie DeCono, a bit of a rough one. Talk about him later. So there you go, Bulls, not a great night. 90 points. Jesus. Pacers, they were cruising in this. Miles Turner had a man's game. 18 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks. 23 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists for Darren Collison? Sure. 14 for Bojan Bogdanovic and the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. Oh, yeah, just give us the chicken. Thanks, Domantas. No tomato. Thanks, mate. 9 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Filling it up. Love the Souvlaki King. And Reek, oh Jesus, Tyreek Evans, still not in shape or as good as last year, huh? Cashing that check though. 10 points on 3-9 shooting, 0-3 from 3 with 5 turnovers. Tyreek Evans, what are you doing? Ah, well, it doesn't matter. Indy still get the win. They moved to 14-10 and Chicago dropped to 5-20. Orlando, we had the Florida Bowl. Orlando beat Miami in Miami 105-90. Absolutely smashed him in the third quarter, did the Magic. This was pretty close, and then the Magic turned a, what was it, 4-point deficit, I think, at halftime into a 14-point lead. Absolutely wild. 30-12 in that third quarter. The Heat were just brutal, man. Couldn't shoot or do shit. Justice Winslow. Why are you Winslow? You've got Justice Winslow. 14-5-2. Jason Richardson? Jesus Christ. Richo had a shocker. 2-14. God damn it, mate. Whinging Hassan Whiteside, as mentioned, had a bit of a whinge and just fucking took off in the fourth quarter. Didn't play in the fourth and just went, all right, fucking, I'm going back to the locker room before this game's done. And everyone's like, oh, what's going on, man? D-Wade's like, oh, he had to go take a shit. Amazing. D-Wade, speaking of which, he had 5 of 13 shooting for 11 points in his 22 minutes. How's that retirement tour going, D-Wade? Kelly Huzurlinicki, he had 13 points and 6 rebounds. Didn't separate anyone's shoulder from their socket, though, so that was a good one. For the Magic, Aaron Gordon had 20 points and 13 rebounds, 5 assists as well. He had 16 points in that third quarter. Absolutely fucking torched the Heat. Nikola Vucevic, Vooch, had 19-10. T-Ross had 19 off the bench as well. 12-6 with 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block for Johnny Isaac. Coming along is Johnny. I love it. Fournier, don't Google me, Evan Fournier. Scored 13. DJ Augustine had 11 as well. Sure. Magic. They went 14 of 28 from 3-point range in this one. Smashed it, bro. That's how you do it. So Miami now dropped to 9-14. Orlando at 12-12. Portland went into Dallas and... Oh, they lost. 102-111 to the Mavs. Mavs crushed it too. They were smashing them early. Portland sort of pulled it back over the second half. Could never really get within sniffing distance though until the last minute. They got within 6, and then Luka, shut the fucking door, Luka Doncic, hit one of the prettiest step-back threes to seal this game you'll ever see. For the Blazers, this was all Dame Lillard, 33 points on 10 of 23 shooting, 2 of 8 from 3, though. I mean, he still had 8 rebounds and 8 assists. Dame is a fucking unreal, legit fucking top 10 player. He is
goddamn good, man. 18 points on 19 shots for CJ McCollum, though. That'll sink you. 13-5-4 for the villain, Evan Turner. And Nick Hill, Bosnian Bear, quiet one. 19-11 going up against DeAndre Jordan. For the Mavs, as mentioned, Luka had a crushing one. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. DJ, DeAndre Jordan, 12 points, 17 rebounds. That's why Nurk had a quiet one. Wes Matthews had 17, and Dennis Smith Jr. had 12 points, 9 assists. The bench for the Mavs scored 39, even though JJ Barea went 3 of 11. So pretty handy, and the Mavs get another handy win. They go to 12-10, and Portland dropped to 13-11. They were leading the West like a week and a half ago. Jesus. Two more to go. Sacramento kicked the absolute shit. They literally shit-pumped Phoenix, 122-105. This was 40-9 at the start of the second quarter. Holy shit, Suns. What the fuck is going on there, man? I know that you don't have Devin Booker, but you're a rabble. Can you fire a rookie head coach this early in a season? Just asking. For the Suns, no Devo Booker after he hurt his hammy the other day against the Lakers. Trevor Ariza's veteran presence in this one had 14 points on 5 of 13 shooting, which is probably a good thing, right? Like that Trevor Ariza's veteran presence is taking 13 shots a game for you on your young squad. Right. He's leading by example, right? 10 points, 9 rebounds for DeAndre Ayton. That's right, the number one pick in the draft. Remember him. Josh Jackson, oh, Jesus. 4 of 11 for 14 points. Michael Bridges, 3 of 12 for 7 points. For those playing along at home, that's 7 of 23 between the two of them, and they combined for 2 of 13 from 3. Kobe! Gross. Shake Milton had 21, though. He was the only good dude for the Suns, whatever. Even the Dragon Bender got out there. 4 points. And Rashawn Holmes had like a double-double. Sure, whatever. For the Kings, they had 7 dudes in double figures and just smashed the Suns. Buddy Steph Curry healed. He had 20 points, 5 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox had 16 points and 7 assists. Bogdan Bogdanovich had 14 points. And even though Belly Belitza and Big Willie Cauley Steinstar were quiet and no Marvy Bags, the Kings fucking shit pumped Phoenix. Unreal. So Phoenix, they moved to 4-20. Oh, the tanks are rolling in. And Sacramento are 12-11, above 500. It's the first time since they last went to the playoffs in 2004, 2005 that they've been above 500 this late into a season. It's 23 games. It's wild. And finally, speaking of shit pumpings, Utah hosted the San Antonio Spurs and kicked the absolute bejesus out of them, 139-105. Woke up and made a franchise record, 20 threes did the Jazz. It's amazing, 20 made threes, and it wasn't all jingler. I mean, it probably should have been, but whatever. They shot 60.7% from the field and 60.6% from three. They shot, of their 33 attempted threes, they made 20 of them, obviously. That's the franchise record for Utah. Good on you. We also had the very, very rare double Rudy game. You had Rudy Gobert versus Rudy Gay. It's a lot of Rudy. For the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge had 16 points and 3 rebounds, and DeRozan there had 16 points and 7 assists. So a pair of 16 points, but just on, like, you know, pretty good shooting. Just San Antonio were kind of out of it. It was absolutely wild, man. Like, Spurs, I mean, we're going to bring this up a little bit later, but fucking hell. I mean, Utah just really put the hammer down in the third and the fourth, and it was all over, and the Spurs couldn't really do anything. Like, LaMarcus only played 22 minutes, and DeRozan only played 24 because the game was done. Eesh. Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl had 20 points and 7 rebounds. Sure, but yeah, man, the Spurs. Something's off in San Antonio. Rudy Gay had 0 points in 19 minutes as well, which isn't good. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10 on things that are good, that's a 1. Not very, because you've scored 0 points in 19 minutes, Rudy. For the Jazz, Donovan fucking Mitchell had 20 points, 4 of 6 from 3. Jingles had 13 and 7. Rudy Gobert, I am the Stafford Tower. Unfortunately, the Utah Jazz, well, he had a pretty good game. 18 points, 10 rebounds. Absolutely smashing it was Rudy. Also had 3 blocks. Unfortunately, also 4 assists. The Jazz then tried to make Gobzilla work. And I don't know about you, but calling Rudy Gobert Gobzilla makes it seem like he loves gobbling pain. Right? Gobzilla. Come on, man. Utah Jazz, do better. Just saying. Gobzilla? Fucking hell. Is he going to have like his own weird little porn out or something where he's just like nobbling knobs? God damn it, Rudy. Settle down, mate.
Jesus.
Attack of the Godzilla. Fucking hell. I wouldn't watch that. Kyle Korver and his hair had 15 points in 15 minutes in his Utah home debut. 3 of 4 from three as well. Ricky Tiki Tata had 12.7 assists, 11 for Royce O'Neal. But man, Utah just couldn't miss. 20 from 33 from three is fucking wilding, man. Love it. So Spurs, they dropped to 11 and 13. Utah are just a little bit ahead at 12 and 13. And there you go. That was today. Awesome. Now, let's do the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
Knife. That's a knife.
Luka Doncic, that was a knife because it was literally a fucking dagger three, the step back three to seal it. That was pretty bloody nice, mate. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists for the rookie. The Blazers have gotten to within 6 with a minute left, as mentioned. And then BAM! No dice anymore, motherfuckers. You got Luka'd. You got Doncic. Nice. He also had a fucking huge pass to Dennis Smith Jr. after a jump ball to really seal it. Basically a play later. So Luka, what a performance. He looks unreal. He might pop up a little bit later too. What about old mate, no mates though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, it's probably Whingin Hassan Whiteside. He's probably still in the shitter as well. So, oh, I need to go take a dump, bro. Hassan, the game's not over. I really got to punch one out, man. Jesus. I'm turtlenecking, bro. I got to go. We're not going to win. Fuck me. How does this go? Just goes, oh, we're not going to win. It's the fourth quarter. I'm going to just go back to the thing and take a shit. I mean, maybe he's a nervous pooer, but goddamn. Come on, Hassan. He's also an amazingly, like, so all of his teammates are like, this fucking guy, man. Oh, fucking sick of him. And you just know that, like, the Heat are just like, this fucking guy, man. So he's definitely old mate, no mates. Add to that, though, he is an amazingly horrible 4 of his last 28 attempts from the foul line over his last, was it, 6 and a bit games. That's a 14.3% clip. 4 of 28, Hassan. What a fucking whinger. Whinging Hassan Whiteside. You are old mate, no mates. But who was Spud of the night, though? Apart from, you know, the Spud that Hassan pushed out.
Spud of the night.
Ryan Arcidiacono. Whoa! 0 points, 0 of 5, 0 of 3 from 3, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 3 turnovers. Holy shit. That is fucking brutal. And on any other day, that would be definitely spudworthy. But not when you've got Josh Richardson Richo out there fucking spudding it up even harder against the Magic. Richo had an absolute shocker. 2 of 14 he goes from the field. 1 of 7 from 3. Just an absolute crapola game for Josh Richardson. It's just fucking brutal, mate. 6 points on 14 attempts. God damn, that is some spudding it up. So there you go. Spud of the night goes to Josh Richardson. Nice. Pantsing of the night was obviously the Suns. I mean, 40-9 after a quarter is embarrassing in the extreme. Like, that's a pantsing when you're not wearing any jocks. And everyone's like, ah, I can see your peen. But also pantsing of the night goes to the Spurs because they lost by fucking 34. 30 fucking 4, the Spurs. That's a pantsing in front of the girl that you like and you're not wearing any jocks and you got a tiny knob. Fucking hell there. Jesus, that's brutal. Anyway, finally, who was better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, as long as coming for everybody involves playing 20 minutes a game and not averaging very much. If you're Lonzo Ball or Trae Young shooting fucking less than 25% from three. Man, overrated much. Obviously, just this goes to fucking Luka Doncic. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, the game-winning 3. Holy shit. But also Johnny Isaac, as mentioned, very, very nice. Loving some Johnny Isaac. And, Johnny Isaac at 12, 6, 2, and 2, and 1. It's really pretty good. And Wendell Carter Jr. had 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. So, all better than Trae Young and Lonzo Ball. Fuck, man, better than those two guys combined today because neither of them played. All right, let's get through to Yenna right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, it's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, are the Spurs toast? Yeah Nah, I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, we're all kind of like, oh, fuck it, man. They'll just replace, like, not having Kawhi from last year and replace him with Demar. But there's just nothing inspiring about them at the moment. I mean, when Bryn Forbes or Davis Bertans or, like, fucking Bellinelli, if they're not lighting the place on fire, they fucking stink. And that's weird. Like, the Spurs, they just rely so much on their role players, and that is the reason why they're role players. It's like consistency isn't quite right there all the time. And without DeJounte Murray, like, it just sucks. So it's pretty rough watching the Spurs. They're just, you know, wildly inconsistent from game to game because of those role players. And, like, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge should be just, like, two fucking, you know, rocks for your entire season you build upon. And then, like, your role players come in over the top and they do their thing and you win lots of games. It's just not happening. And it's because they don't take that many threes. They're not defending at a crazy fucking high level. And their offense just kind of, you know, kind of stinks. It's brutal to watch, man. And, yeah, like, Rudy Gay had a bad game today and they got shit pumped by 34. So this is where they are now. So I think they're kind of toast. I reckon the Spurs might miss the playoffs. Next up, can Markelle Fultz come back from this whole weird fucking, what is it, thoracic outlet syndrome and play meaningful minutes for the Sixers this year? Yeah, nah. I mean, not meaningful fucking minutes. Look, they can rehab his shit, baby him back into the rotation, get his confidence back up, get him out there and, like, rolling around or whatever. But there's no fucking way he's playing important minutes for the Sixers this season, right? I mean, 3 to 6 weeks away from him even really getting back to the fucking team. Then the babying happens. Then the bitching and the moaning and probably another fucking setback knowing Markelle Fultz. It's just, it's over. Like, this season's a fucking wrap for Markelle Fultz. Like, do you have any confidence in him being there in April next to Big Simo, Ben Simmons in, like, the first round of the playoffs? And then everyone's like, oh, Markelle Fultz has really come a long way. Like, no, fuck no. It's all in his noggin. Next up, should the Heat trade Winj and Hassan Whiteside? Yeah, nah, yeah, of fucking course they should, and they would love to, but they've got no takers. That's the problem. No one wants a big Winj and baby like Hassan Whiteside. Not even like for Dwight Howard or something there in Washington, right? Though if we get a trade, that would be amazing because it would complete Dwight's collection of playing for all the Southeast Division teams, right? Got it, want it, need it, got it. That's Dwight counting through all the teams that he's played for now. Yeah, brutal. Hassan, man, there's just not much going on with that guy, is there? Next up, does Joakim Noah help Memphis? Yeah, nah, no, get the fuck out of here. If anything, it's dumb and he takes away minutes from Triple J. Jaren Jackson Jr. should be playing as much as fucking possible as far as I'm concerned. And Joakim Noah there, like, do you expect him to be, like, a really good veteran on the, like, help out on the sidelines? Maybe. That's got to be the best you got to hope for because I can't really see him helping you off the bench. Jesus. At least in basketball terms. And finally, is LeBron doing too much? Ooh, yeah, nah. Yeah. Of course he is. That's what LeBron does because it prompted both Magic and Kobe in the last couple of days after Brian Windhorst and others were reporting that LeBron had basically just taken over the offense, wasn't listening to Luke Walton and wasn't even letting Lonzo touch the ball. And Magic and Kobe are like, yo, this guy's doing too much. LeBron's like, hey, man, I don't know what asking me to do too much is, to be honest. I just play my game. Yeah, because that is LeBron's game. He just does everything. Like, they reckon he's running too much of the offense and not letting Lonzo, etc., develop. And I kind of get that because LeBron's like, hey, man, we're going to win some games right now. And those guys can sort of come along at their own pace and, like, later on we'll let them develop. That's never going to fucking happen. Like, at what point has LeBron ever been like, oh, shit, yeah, man, I'm going to let the point guard run everything, bro. I'll play off the ball. Like, LeBron always does too much. That's his fucking thing, you know? So whatever. This is weird and dumb. It's a weird sort of ask to go, oh, he can play off the ball, man. He can play off the ball. Maybe in 2 years' fucking time, but not at the moment. It's not going to happen. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. I still think most of Markelle Fultz's problems are in his sleepy-eyed fucking head. Thoracic outlet syndrome, sure. That doesn't really sort of also explain most of the shit we've seen about him, like, shooting or getting layups up or anything. Like, I don't know. He's just fucking shot his confidence into the sun and it's all over. All right, what about Outback Takehouse for today? It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means. 2-for-1 flame grill takes. In fact, all the flame grill takes you can handle only at Outback. And today's flame grill take special is Luka Doncic isn't just the best rookie this year. He's the best rookie since LeBron James, even including John Wall, Blake Griffin, D-Rose, Rusty, KD, Yao, Kyrie, Reek, and even our own Ben Simmons. Luka Doncic has got them all beat. Only at Outback. Whoa, that is a flame grill take. Is Luka Doncic the best rookie since LeBron? Fuck. Might have to crunch some numbers there and see how he's going, but he is awesome. I fucking love it. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch and the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award and some other fun stuff right after this one. G'day. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya. All right, time for the Australian Player Watch. Three Aussies in action today playing against each other. Because Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff didn't get out there against Portland for the Mavs. So we just had Dante Exum and Jingling Joe Ingles going up against Patty Mills for the San Antonio Spurs. So Jingler versus Patty and the Spurs. He had 13 points, goes 3 of 6 from 3 with 7 assists, 3 rebounds and 3 steals. Jingles, smashing him. Dante Exum got 11 minutes as well. He had 7 points, 3 of 4 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3, 2 assists and 1 rebound. Crushing it. Some good run too. And Patty Mills, for his part, had 17 minutes played, 3 of 8 from the field, 8 points, 2 assists, 1 rebound, only 2 of 5 from 3. In a losing effort for the Spurs. So there you go. We caught you up on the G League guys. We'll catch up with them every sort of, what is it, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we'll catch up with them tomorrow. But you know what? On a Wednesday, oh, how good is it? We always love a bit of Shane Heal here. It's time for the Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award.
Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I am healed. Because this one goes to Damian Lillard. That's right, the Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award goes to Damian Lillard. He hit 10 of 15 threes on his way to setting a Blazers franchise record last week, then backed it up with games of 37 points against the Spurs and 33 against Dallas today. I mean, sure, they were both losses, those two, but still, he's also taken, get this, 55 threes in his last 5 games. For those playing along at home and being good at maths, that's 11 three attempts a game. That is absolute fucking Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up territory. He's hit 21 of them as well. That's fucking awesome. So Dame Lillard, you are our Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award winner for this week. Absolutely crushing it too. And you know what else we like to do on a Wednesday? It is, that's right, a great moment in NBA Straya stat history.
Great moments in NBA Straya stat history.
Oh, and it's a classic one because less than a week ago today, back 21 years ago, Shane the Hammer Heal, we just mentioned him, had his greatest ever NBA game, lighting up my beloved Seattle Supersonics for 15 points in only 13 minutes of court time. The Hammer absolutely smoked the eventual, Western Conference finalists that year? Semi-finalists? Lose the Jazz, right? Going 5 of 9 from downtown for a ridiculous 55.6% from 3 for the game. So he hits 5 three-pointers going up against Seattle, one of the best teams that year. Absolutely crushes it. Gets a rebound as well. And, get this, registers his first ever NBA block. Unreal. He only ever had 3 for his entire career. So Shane the Hammer Heal, 15 points in 13 minutes, a block, a rebound. That's a hell of a fucking game, Hammer. And solidified his basic presence in the national psyche forever and ever and ever. After also trying to punch on with Charles Barkley the year before. On your Hammer, that is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. All right, we'll be back in a sec with the Patty Mills Twitter to check in and some massive game previews right after this.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Bull, a Game Day Twitter check-in slash inspiration board, and no tweets from Patty. But we did get an inspiring post on Instagram from Aaron Bangers Baines. That's right, he just posted a picture of himself sitting in the Celtics Praco facility. Looking fucking ripped. Oh, Jesus. All he did was caption it with office views, shamrock emoji. And he was just sitting there with his rig, lifting a shit ton in that fancy new Celtics Praco facility, just inspiring everybody going, God damn it. See what I fucking lift, bro? Do you even lift? Look at this. I'm fucking smashing it. I'm Aaron Bangers Baines. Fuck you. On your bangers. That was fucking inspiring as hell. Gotta get back in the gym, mate. All right, let's get into today's game preview, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
That's right. We've got 10 games tomorrow on Thursday. It's a huge one. We've got Golden State. Who are they playing there, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland.
That's right, Cleveland. Can't wait. Let's quickly check all the odds as well. Live looking in the odds, and we'll make our picks. Oh, wow. This is a bit of a nice get-right game for the Warriors, isn't it? They're 11-point favorites. I will take that in Cleveland. Holy shit. Cavs are a rabble. Nuggets go to Orlando. Orlando on a back-to-back. They were only in Miami, though, so it's a quick drive back up the road. Denver come to Orlando. Maybe a bit of a Disney World trip the day before. 5-point favorites on the road are the Nuggets. I will take the Nuggets. They are rolling at the moment. The Wizards go to Atlanta. They have 5-point favorites on the road as well. I might even take the Hawks +5, though, because they can keep up with teams, even though they don't often win. +5 seems pretty handy. They might lose by 3, but we'd still have our pick be made correct. Give me the Hawks +5. I mean, the Wiz almost blew that game to the fucking Knicks the other day, right? Do you reckon they can get one over the Hawks? Probably. Still be close, though. Thunder go to Brooklyn. They are 7-point favorite as well. I will take that. Brooklyn are just fucking in a spiral of despair at the moment. Not looking good at all. Give me the Thunder -7. They are looking fucking great. Charlotte go to Minnesota. Timberwolves are 5-point favorites at home. I'll take the Timberwolves because I'm not entirely sure who on Charlotte's really going to match up with Karl Anthony Towns. They've got a lot of sort of wings and they've got a lot of big dudes, but none of the big dudes really feel like Karl Anthony Towns stoppers, you know what I'm saying? You might have like 40 and 20 in this one. So give me the Wolves -5. Oh, and then we've got a East leaders. Let's get it. Fuck you, Drake. Top of the table clash between the Sixers and the Raptors. Sixers is 6-point underdogs on the road in Toronto. And you know what? I think I might take that. I think they might lose to the Raptors, but I reckon this will be fucking close, and I reckon it'll be awesome. It's going to be great to see Kawhi going up against like Big Simo, Joel Embiid, absolutely trying to towel Serge Ibaka and Pascal Siakam, and co. This is going to be awesome. Can't wait for that game. So give me the Sixers +6. Detroit go to Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Pistons 7.5-point underdogs. I'll take the Bucks, please, -7.5, because they are rolling, and Detroit, they just look. It was all looking good, and then they got their asses handed to them the other day. And Milwaukee just looked really good, really solid. Dallas on a back-to-back go to New Orleans. New Orleans Pelicans are 5.5-point favorites at home. Oosh. I think I'll take that. I think the Pelicans will be good. Dallas on a back-to-back, even though it's just down the road there in New Orleans, still it's a tough one. New Orleans will be nice and rested. So give me the Pelicans -5.5. The Clippers at Memphis. Whoa. So many crazy playoff series between these two. But now they're dominant powers in the West there, aren't they? That is absolutely wild. You've got Memphis at 13-9. They're sixth. And you got the Clippers tied for the top spot in the West at 16-7. Awesome. So what do you got? Montrezl Harrell going up against, fucking old mate Coach Killer Marcus Sol. Boban Marjanovic. This should be pretty good. Grizzlies are 2-point favorites at home. I might take the Clippers +2. I just really like the look of them. And then finally, the Spurs on a back-to-back go into the Lakers. Oh, how lucky for the fucking Lakers, mate. That's some bullshit. Just getting the Spurs on a back-to-back after they caused them so much fucking havoc. Patty Mills game winners and co. 8.5-point favorites of the Lakers as well, and I might take that because the Spurs just look completely fucking discombobulated. So give me the Lakers. Going in there after Utah as well, it's going to be tough, mate. So give me the Lakers -8.5. And you know what? We'll wrap all those up tomorrow when we're back with more ridiculousness. Can't wait. That's a really, really good slate of games. Can't wait at all for that Philly-Toronto game. Holy shit. Anyway, so in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram, all that good stuff. Make sure you rate us and review us on on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever podcast app you're using to listen to NBA Australia. Just chuck us a rating and review, would you? That'd be fucking super handy. Also, tell a mate. Go, oi, dickhead, what are you doing? Listen to NBA Australia. It's awesome. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music, but go check out the new band House Hats. They're the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, I've Been Broken, is an absolute rip snorter, so get that in your ears and hit up Triple J or whatever radio station you listen to and chuck them a request. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, whatever you can. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australia bands! And that is it for today. We're going to finish up with a brand new Rowdy's Recos. We've got Ryan Brockhoff delivering a life hack. It's awesome. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, play the horse on! Greetings, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff here. Just doing a quick Rowdy's Recos for you this week, trying to bring a bit of peace and quiet into your life. I mean, after all, if there's someone who knows how to de-stress, it's me, the bloke who played basketball in both Indiana and Russia. So I know about stressful situations and how to deal with them. So this week's Rowdy's Reco is a simple one. Roads are stressful. Driving can be a major headache. So why not cut down on it? By perhaps trying to ride your bike more. It doesn't matter if you're going to school, going to work. Riding your bike can be a great way to de-stress your life as you zip along a bike path, getting some fresh air and some exercise. So maybe just try that for a week and see how you go. I promise that it'll leave you feeling energized and far, far less stressed. Okay, that's this week's Rowdy's Reco life hack. Get on your bike and go for a ride. Okay, I'll be back next week with another tip to help de-stress your life. I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. I'll see you next week on NBA Australia.